Hello, everybody, and welcome to an unusual Tuesday stream.
Yes. Luckily enough, our Hamas captors have been so generous that they're actually allowing us to stream from our Gaza-based prison that we're currently being held hostage in. But we're hoping we'll be out in the next couple of weeks anyway, because we, of course, love the nation of Israel, and they're going to come and save us.
Of course, we have a special message about that in a little bit, but we'll leave that for later because we already have a donation. Thank you, Albert. I can't say the rest of your name because YouTube has shown fit not to show it.
It's like probably Albert Cross or something.
Yes, I YouTube's interface is so wank that it just cuts everything off and doesn't like display it properly. So thank you for the £5 there, which leads us into a segue to say that we are still fully monetized somehow. If you want to donate via Super Chat, like you just saw, we do have that facility because for some reason, Albert Croissant, okay? For some reason, YouTube hasn't demonetized us yet. But if you don't want to pay the YouTube tax, the best way to do that is via the coffee and stuff. We'll probably talk about that more in a quick sec. But I don't know. We've not really been streaming for 2 weeks, have we?
So. No, well, I was seeing my mum for a bit. Jess's mum was down for a bit. We've been doing bits and bobs around the house this week. You're still having almost non-stop buddy bank issues to the extent that we are maybe slightly considering the idea that someone might be messing with us. But
possibly. We don't know. It's hard to tell in Nightmare World whether the bureaucracy's breaking down or somebody's trying to interfere with you.
Fellow patriots, we cannot collect your super beans. Please PO boxes, you know, yes. £10 notes and pints of Theakston.
we'll figure it out. I basically have to go to a police interview about the whole thing, but I won't be under caution or anything. It's just it's really for my benefit. But
fingers crossed we can all get it working, because as Mr. Croissant himself has said, he will hopefully see us in Stirling for the next Nomos event that we have coming up on the 27th and the 28th of October. I'm not sure if all the early bird tickets have sold yet or not.
I think there's like one left for the early bird dinner, but yes, we have normal tickets and we have an early bird dinner. We have actually managed to plan it. 27th, that'll be 28th of October is the kind of the main
Saturday, yes.
Is the main Saturday. We'll be in Stirling City Centre. We hope to see you there. We're trying to make sure these things keep rolling. So yes.
Not so much a formal event with speakers and such, but we will have a private venue for pretty much all of the evening and afternoon and evening of the Saturday, with food included in the price of your ticket, and I would also presume some decent pints and probably some decent whiskey.
Yes, we also have the Substack available. This is where the audio versions of the streams go up for paid subscribers. You also have a very long essay that was meant to be at Shieldings this year, slash the Witan. And a surprise hit, I've also been doing the Starman Radio over there. And another one of those will be out, if not next week, then the week. I've already recorded it, but I don't want to like glut the market with radio shows. So possibly there'll be one of those every month, along with the It's Okay, We're From the Internet streams with Trig. Which reminds me, we have a couple of leftover donations from those. Thank you, Kieran, for the £32. Very generous. Saying, "Where from the Internet, episode one was beautiful." Thank you very much. And a friend who gave me a friend, it's pathetic to say, but the 4chan stream brought a tear to my eye. Have a pint on us. Have a pint for all. Okay. Thank you, guys. And thank you for the reception for that, by the way. Show launching was quite a big success.
So. And also, please go and read my big essay, because I spent a lot of time writing it. I'm not too sure many people have.
Ooh, here's the pay bit, screenshot it,
I was going to more suggest the fact that if you choose not to be a member of the channel but you wish to support us regularly, you can subscribe to the Substack, where you'll both get articles and the notes for the streams, and as you mentioned, the podcast without adverts. So
that's
there
enough.
There are many options.
That's enough shilling, though. We have, first to start us off and to reaffirm our love for the nation of Israel, we have a special message here from big Nigel Farage, the saviour of the British right himself.
You may think it's complicated, but be clear. A sovereign state of Israel has been attacked. War has broken out. For decency, we must stand 100% with Israel.
Yes, we press Press S to stand. Anyway, we're not here to talk about all that, though, because as usual, we are fashionably ignoring most of the current thing.
So let's go back to 2014.
And to 2015, yes. Yes.
Theresa May is in charge.
Theresa May is in power. No, she's not, actually. David Cameron's in power.
Yes, that's true.
The Brexit vote has not yet happened, and she is the Home Secretary.
That's all morphed into one for me. Yeah. It's the Tory continuum.
But this really is kind of somewhat of a follow-up to the stream Reactionary Reading Moore and I did on...
Is that the stream playing back on the desktop audio there? Or
I'm afraid it's turned off, so I'm not really sure, actually. But no. I've actually made sure the desktop audio is off this time. And you should hear, our audio should be sounding better, by the way, guys. We had a pretty severe driver issue with Windows. Yes. I basically had to disable and re-enable all the audio drivers and do some weird registry stuff. But it's finally decided that OBS will pick up the proper microphone again. Because even though it was saying it was using one microphone, it was not, and that was the cause of the audio issues. But anyway, we're out of echoey land, and we should be in slightly creamy, slightly more compressed audio land. So
yes.
Hooray for us, and hooray for normal volume. But no, the Modern Slavery Act is not something that many people will have heard of directly. It's been discussed slightly with a lot of the recent new Tory policy, but the Modern Slavery Act in of itself is not something that's been particularly well discussed. And as we said, well, as you just said there, the Modern Slavery Act was Theresa May's big project as Home yes. Secretary. This is from 2014,
it's
as you said.
Patrick Saur and Patrick Saur.
Yeah, it is. Patrick Saur and Patrick Saur. Wow.
They got both of them in the same room. No way.
Is this like Kramer versus Kramer? Theresa May says tens of thousands held as modern slaves in Britain. The shocking number of people held in conditions of slavery in modern Britain has been revealed by the Home Secretary.
See, I can even remember when this, from 2013 onwards, when they were doing all the campaigning for this, stuff we did in school for modern studies was modern slavery.
It was.
And why it's different to slavery in the past, and why it's so dangerous, and why it affects migrants and all these vulnerable people. I mean, that is basically stuff that come out of the sort of offices where this policy was planned.
Yes, it is, but it's also one of the cornerstones of something we've been trying to build up people's awareness of, or build back up people's awareness of, which is the David Cameron era compassionate conservatism.
Yes.
This, like many aspects of the Equality Act, are the pillars of compassionate conservatism in this time period. This is where we are in the Tory party. Theresa May is talking about the outgrowths of mass immigration, much like we see now with the integration stuff.
It's about the consequences of immigration and managing those, not just about culling immigration. And I think as well, there's a classic Blairite play here.
Yes.
Because in a lot of their research stuff, and some of which we'll look at, they basically came to people and said, if you tell us you are trafficked, you'll get more stuff than you otherwise would if you come here and don't tell us you were trafficked. And lo and behold, we have all these people turn up and go, I was trafficked. Well, oh, wow, what a surprise.
The original focus of the Modern Slavery Act was not actually on immigration itself, even though implicitly modern slavery in Britain is an outgrowth of immigration. It was even taught to us in school as an outgrowth of immigration.
The chain gangs of Thai people drowning in Devon or something like that, going picking cockles in the morning, getting caught in the high tide.
Yeah. This was their antidote to being the nasty party, though. They were supposed to be the party that was fixing the social ills. This is the party of the big society. Form of the party of no such thing as society, but we forget about that one. The big society, which there is no such thing as. very, very good. But here's, again, Theresa May in, I believe, 2016, once the Modern Slavery Act had passed, talking about defeating modern slavery, article by Theresa May. The Prime Minister wrote an article for the Sunday Telegraph on how a government will lead the way in defeating modern slavery. Again, no real mention here of immigration. This is sold to the public as an act that is meant to stop the exploitation of people already in Britain and benefit the victims who have been sold into, quote-unquote, modern slavery. again, a wholly important a problem, but it's this that creates the seed for the problems that the Tory party is now, quote unquote, tackling, because they have built this own rod for their back. They're now pretending they didn't know what the implications were from the Modern Slavery Act, even though if you go to the act itself, it mentions immigration throughout it. It is mostly an immigration-focused act, as we will...
Well, that is what you would expect in the end of the day from the Home Office and the Home Secretary, because that's what their job entails in large part, is border security.
Yes, I would also like to point out as well that this, as along with other things, is one of the cornerstones of New Britain.
Yes.
It's New Britain, guys.
I think that's an interesting...
It's already here.
An interesting aspect to this law as well, which we've covered in some of the immigration stuff and will come up again. And it sort of also sidles along the Equality Act, that modern slavery is a thing that affects X groups more so than white Brits. Therefore, this becomes a law that acts obviously on British territory, but also on people who, the moment they arrive here.
Yes.
And that's not really how law has necessarily always been dealt with.
No, this is not a law regarding British citizens and British subjects. This is very clearly and very plainly a law meant to shelter and, you know, humanize and sympathize, really.
Transients
and migrants.
Yes.
And it's this idea that migrants are victims is one of the other kind of large aspects of this. You have to make it implicitly about immigration, because the argument has to be that migrants are victims, therefore we're talking about migrants. But this act almost sat in the background for many years. It was not talked about, it was not brought up, even as it, as we'll go into, prevented asylum seekers being removed from the UK almost entirely. Once it was implemented, this was never discussed, because the numbers were really kind of kept in the wraps for most of this period.
Any specific bits from May's article itself there we want to go over? Or?
No, not really. A lot of it is just very fluffy language.
I would expect so.
You can if you want. The first legislation of its kind in Europe.
Oh, that's because we're the pioneers.
Well,
created vital policing tool to stop anyone convicted of trafficking from travelling to a country where they are known to have exploited vulnerable people, deliver enhanced protection support for victims, and a world-leading transparency requirement on businesses to show that modern slavery is not taking place in their company's other supply chain. Another one of those negatives you got to prove.
Yes.
Oh, apologies.
This is her kind of reasserting that this is her main mission. As Prime Minister, I'm setting up the first ever government task force on modern slavery. Together with my six films, secretary, we will hold regular meetings in Downing Street. It really is the compassionate conservative cause looking for something to latch onto, rather than trying to deal with the issues that most people in Britain are facing. They really just disappeared into their own little world of these modern slavery initiatives, these never-ending councils. It ended up being folded into a lot of the women inequality stuff, as we'll see.
Well, you've got a little note here about it. This is not a Labour hangover like the original Equality Act. This is a wholly compassionate conservatism project sold on the basis of tackling modern slavery taking place in the UK. The entire bill is predicated on the fact that migrant communities use slaves. This is an imported problem could be solved with deportation, and yet the solution is to make it even harder to deport people and not easier. This is one of the last big pieces of the Cameronite agenda, as we're talking about.
Well, as I wanted to mention, as I've got kind of I'll get a bit of the act up itself. I won't be getting the act up itself. I'll be getting the guidance around the act, for that is much more useful than just the raw text of the law. But like with many of these projects, like slavery in Britain was already illegal.
Yes.
Human trafficking in Britain was already illegal. It is like the fifth and sixth times people have voted for equal pay.
Yes.
This is the idea that Britain was a slave state prior to 2015 is laughable. It just doesn't work. It doesn't hold up. People would look at you funny. But there's this idea that, well, you can't repeal the Modern Slavery Act because that makes you pro-slavery. It's like the Equality Act. You can't repeal the Equality Act because that makes you anti-equality.
Well, I think it, you can tell as well because they couldn't have got away with calling it the Slavery Act.
No.
They had to call it modern because something too modern makes us understand it's new and it's vogue and it has something to do with modern transitory man. It is not slavery as we used to know it.
The term immigration turns up in the text more than any other, I believe. It turns up in the text of the guidance 117 times. I believe it actually... apart from slavery, sorry, it is the key word that shows up the most in the ministerial guides. But it's quite hard to figure out how this bill actually interacts with the immigration system, because neither the bill itself or the implementation guidance on its own allows you to figure out how this works in practice. I had to locate something that is referred to as the Adults at Risk Detention of Potential or Confirmed Victims of Slavery, Adults at Risk. And this really is it's folded into the risk categories of, say, people who are mentally disabled.
Yes.
People who have other mental illnesses. It's really, it uses the framework of people who have complex medical needs to redefine who is and isn't at risk and what rights they have.
Well, it takes slavery and makes it not something criminal, but something therapeutic.
Yes, it
slavery
does.
Is not something that you're contracted into. It's something that's felt. It's experienced.
Yes. Modern slavery is a lived experience.
Yes.
As we'll come to later, there are no objective evidence criteria for being a victim of modern slavery.
Other than throwing your passport away.
Yes. we'll come to that in a sec. But really, the first thing you have to understand about this is being classed as an adult at risk within the immigration system and British society at large greatly increases your risk. Greatly reduces your risk of detention and greatly increases your privileges if you are in detention.
Yes.
So it's something I learnt this from accidentally finding out I was on the at-risk register for like bills and things because an elderly couple used to live here. This address was classed as at risk. I ended up having to jump through all kind of hoops to change certain things about my energy supplier because I was, or the property at least, they were classing as being having an at-risk person.
Mm-hmm.
You will get a lot more hand-holding. You'll basically be able to get directly through to somebody on the phone. And that's just for kind of the energy bill stuff. Within the immigration system, being classed as an adult at risk, especially one who is at risk or has experienced modern slavery, as we'll get to, comes with massive, massive upsides.
Wait, before you look at that bit up there, we can once again relate this back to the crime in a cashless society stream or becoming a minority. This general notion that the British state treats foreigners who have just arrived here and people who actually live and are born in this country so asymmetrically that it almost doesn't warrant pointing out because it's so obvious. But I can read a bit of this if you want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Particular protections and support are afforded to potential victims, not victims confirmed, but potential victims of modern slavery in accordance with the Council of European Convention on Action Against Trafficking in Human Beings, which I think, as you point out, is a later addition so that we have this EU regulatory alignment post Brexit.
Well, as we see once again, the Modern Slavery Act is part of the EU regulatory alignment, followed in the wake of the Brexit process, and once again, a piece of law effectively required by the EU in some form, much like the Online Safety Bill. The UK got out ahead of this, but really, this is a symptom of the fact that the legislative agenda of basically all Western nations, especially European nations, is in lockstep, even if they don't directly say this is coming from law. That's where the impetus comes from. But they went over and above in implementing it.
We'll continue on here. This includes a recovery period of no less than 30 calendar days following a positive reasonable grounds decision, during which time potential victims of modern slavery are protected from removal or deportation from the United Kingdom and provided with support to assist in their physical, psychological and social recovery from their experience of modern slavery.
It's again, it instantly stops you being deported.
Yes.
It gives you like 30 days breathing room. It automatically gives you a lawyer. There's all kinds of things to be followed in here. We're not going to get into the minutiae of all the different government officials that this triggers, like a memo for.
But I will just say as an aside, I went from this to two pages to some very interesting stuff about the Commission for Countering Extremism,
yes,
which is involved throughout all of this stuff. But anyway, I'll carry on with this. Where are we going from the potential?
It's potential victim. I'll quickly get that back up on screen here.
Potential victims of modern slavery may also fall under other vulnerabilities outlined in the Adults at Risk and Immigration Policy.
Yes.
Decision makers must consider all the indicators of risk and any evidence provided, for example, from a social worker or medical practitioner in line with the Adults at Risk and Migration Prevention Policy in order to determine the appropriate vulnerability level of potential victim of modern slavery. Additionally, where the recovery period applies, the Home Office must take into account the consideration the outcome of the modern slavery needs assessment.
And that comes from the Modern Slavery Act itself. That's a separate document we're not going to go over, but really this shows how kids' gloves they are handled. It shows that they not only fall under the vulnerabilities outlined in the Adults at Risk Detention, they also consider the indicators of risk and the evidence provided. Again, modern slavery is over and above the threshold of being an at-risk adult in detention, which gives you it's designed to give you a peak privileged position. Additionally, where the recovery period applies, the extent the Home Office must take into consideration, whether right that bit, sorry. But it does get worse. It says here, this is probably best to read first, actually. Sorry. Any individual who is a potential victim of modern slavery is considered an adult at risk. A competent authority's positive, reasonable ground decision alone will automatically be regarded as amounting to level 2 evidence. Well, no one can tell you within this document what a reasonable ground decision is or what level 2 evidence is, but we'll get to defining those in a second. But do bear that in mind.
Well, what I was going to say as well is this reminds me of some of the stuff we have read, especially based in US education,
yeah,
where they essentially go to very long lengths to medically and socially explain away Black children who cannot, yes, be educated and justify spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on them through all these special programs. And it reminds me of the same kind of apologetics and open sort of opportunity for people who are otherwise criminals to be treated as poverty cases.
Yes. Victims. Well, it's just this bit here, really, but yeah. The first paragraph there.
There is a presumption in immigration policy that a person will not be detained. Since when? The Adults at Risk and Immigration Detention Policy strengthens this presumption against the detention of those who are particularly vulnerable to harm in detention. However, detention may still be appropriate in an individual case when immigration control considerations outweigh the presumption of a release, even for a person to be considered at risk. You can't even throw me in with the rest of the brothers, mate. I'm gay, innit?
Yeah, basically. But that's kind of a fig leaf, as we'll come to. But we see now that the decision making is very it's very fortuitous for an immigrant to be defined as a victim of modern slavery. Well, first of all, what is a reasonable grounds decision? Because the part we just read there, and I'll kind of keep that on screen. That'll be the one I want to get to. Where is it? It's that one there. This one up. Yeah, as well, I believe. Adults at risk. Sorry, it's quite a hard document to navigate because it has... There it is. It's a whole level 2 evidence thing is what I want to get to here, because there's the reasonable grounds decision and the level 2 evidence will leave people scratching their heads. Well, this is from Helen Bamber Foundation. This is a resource directly for kind of immigration lawyers. It's a bit hard to read here. But what happened was, in the wake of the Immigration Act, this is from July this year, by the way, but in the wake of the Immigration Act, they tried to change some of the language around these reasonable grounds.
Yeah, I can
decisions.
Read the first couple of paragraphs, yes, there, and that gives us context.
New test for reasonable grounds decisions in modern slavery guidance withdrawn.
At the end of June, the Home Office agreed to withdraw review and revise its new policy that required a potential victim of trafficking to provide objective evidence for their traffic experiences in order to receive a first stage decision under the National Referring Mechanism.
Yes.
Under the Modern Slavery Statutory Guide, published in January 2023...
That's what we're reading a part of, basically.
Yes. A potential victim bore the burden of producing a credible account of being trafficked such that the decision maker must agree there are reasonable grounds to believe, based on objective factors, that a person is a victim of modern slavery. This new higher threshold for making a reasonable grounds decisions resulted in more victims receiving negative decisions and therefore being denied vital support under the NRM in the first quarter of 2023.
AKA, they lied.
Yes.
And they caught them lying.
There was a significant drop of 30% in positive reasonable grounds decisions made. Concerns were also raised that people would be deterred from making referrals into the NRM if objective evidence was not available. There we go. But let's give us the barriers to providing, because that's hilarious. The withdrawal of policy followed a legal challenge brought by two potential trafficking victims
who received negative
reasonable grounds decisions despite proving credible accounts of their trafficking experience. Drawing from our knowledge and experience, HBF provided a witness statement for that challenge outlining the reasons why a potential victim may not be able to obtain objective information or evidence. These include the nature of trafficking is of isolation and control, so it was extremely rare for victims to have access to healthcare or social care services who can corroborate their account.
So really, this is just a believe victims document. You have to take these people at face value. They're talking about a first stage decision here.
Mm.
And it kind of waffles on like this.
I was just going to read some of the italics bits. Disclosure of trafficking and exploitation is extremely difficult for survivors and there's a risk of re-traumatization. Shame around what they've experienced and fear of reprisals are significant. Survivors of trafficking may be unaware that they are the victims of modern slavery or trafficking, and so do not come forward with their experiences until it is identified by first responders or other support organisations.
Yeah.
A lack of access to interpreters leads to missed opportunities in picking up survivors' trafficking indicators.
What? This is getting thinner and thinner.
Difficulty securing legal representation for victims of trafficking.
That'll become bullshit very soon. Yes,
well, that one's already bullshit. Yeah. We know it. Significant amount of time and complex planning it takes to produce expert evidence. You mean manufacture expert evidence.
Yeah.
And there is considerable delay in the sharing of information between relevant authorities and organisations. Don't we all suffer from that one?
Well, this is... As the document says here, a reasonable grounds decision will be automatically regarded as level 2 evidence. Well, what is level 2 evidence? It talks about, this is from a badly designed 3.0 website that could put its own logo with its own contents page.
That's great.
Thank you, @hub.
Yes.
But this is referral to the NRM, which is the kind
National
of the,
Referral Mechanism.
Which is the modern slavery referral mechanism.
Wait, scroll up a second.
Yeah.
There is no automatic legal aid for assisting a victim of modern slavery with an application for leave to enter or remain before they get a positive, reasonable or conclusive grounds decision. That's not true.
Yeah.
There is. It's called all the NGO charities that are allowed to do this stuff.
Yes, but I want to bring this up quickly because legal aid is granted once you do get a reasonable grounds decision. Again, a reasonable grounds decision, as we've already seen, is a very low bar because they have to believe you.
Yes.
If you tell them that you've been trafficked and they can't produce conclusive evidence that you haven't been trafficked, then legally you've been trafficked. But I want to go through these evidence levels here because
Are we going to look at any of their indicators at all?
No. Let me quickly see if I can... Not on here. Oh dear. Is this a different page?
It's the right one you've got in the...
Yeah.
Is it the free movement one you're after?
It might... Sorry, is this... Yeah, I wanted to quickly... use this one because this has some of the referral stuff on it. But this talks about the advantages of reasonable grounds. I'll go to the back of that one in a second.
No, just because you misspelled reasonable.
I know I have. I can't spell.
And then
spell.
He's deleted it from the thing. Oh, no, he's such a silly man.
I shouldn't have had the smith. Yeah, reasonable grounds decision, sorry. A reasonable grounds, within 5 working days, reasonable grounds decisions made. This is a decision that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the person may be a victim of trafficking. That's it. This is considered to be a low threshold, I suspect, but cannot prove. Think of it as being, might this person be a victim of trafficking? This is not, is this person a victim of trafficking? The reasonable grounds decision gives the victim sustainable rights. It is the gateway decision. That was the bit I quoted here. I just wanted to find it on the page. And then this leads us into, okay, what are the evidence levels? This is where it gets really slippery. Because remember, it said that anyone who gets a reasonable grounds decision will be seen as somebody who has level 2 evidence. So evidence levels are level 1, declaration of vulnerability made by a detainee or their legal representative. And 2 is professional evidence that individual is vulnerable.
That's
such a good trick, isn't it?
Yes, because vulnerable doesn't mean that the first one is true.
No.
It just means that the first one could be true.
Yes.
Therefore, you automatically are recognised as vulnerable, which then, of course, gives more validity to the idea that you're an adult at risk.
Well, it's the whole point that basically if you say that you have been trafficked into the UK, you have level 1 evidence that is automatically given legal standing as level 2 evidence. When you sign these declarations, which, by the way, requires no objective evidence.
Well, because as we found out in the previous report, when they did try and ask for objective evidence, 30% less people got through.
Yes.
So they've had to revise that standard.
It is like death by semantics, yes. Very, very well pointed out there. But this is the slipperiness of all the terminology. And you have to go out and piece all this together to figure out what's going on.
Mm.
Like, this is from... I literally had to go to 4 different sources. It's like, okay, what is a reasonable grounds decision? What is level 2 evidence?
I mean, I think we could even go further with this for a second, because we could comment in here that what they are calling being detained is not prison.
Yes.
And it's not even an open prison.
No.
It's the migrant hotels, and it's been put in a council house.
Yes. The guidance does not define professional evidence, but states that it might be provided by a social worker, medical practitioner, or NGO. That is more to the role of medical
legal reports. That's awful.
But basically, yeah, what happens is you don't even have to have an NGO behind you.
No.
If you provide a statement, if you want a reasonable grounds decision, they have to give it to you. And if they can't prove conclusively that you haven't been trafficked, the default now has to be that you have.
Yeah, it's like, I think maybe the only way to frame it would be they have to prove that there is a non-zero chance that you are trafficked.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, not a zero chance. And if there is anything that isn't that, any non-zero chance that you could have been trafficked or exploited for any reason,
yeah,
then you, as you say, you reach the reasonable grounds.
Well, here we go. This is, think of it as might be, this again, they use the exact language here. Think of it as being, might this person be a victim of trafficking? If there's even a 1% chance that you could be, you will be granted a reasonable grounds decision,
yes,
which will give you a legal standing that you have had expert evidence that you are a vulnerable person, which gives you legal status.
And then it makes you realize how stupid and how useless some of those people are. They still end up getting deported on a very rare number of occasions, but still,
well,
these people can get this wrong.
We'll come back to this in a little bit, because the next part of this really is the lawyers.
Mm.
Before this even happens, and usually before these declarations take place, and these people will be given, or they will even be sought out by, in many cases,
yes,
an activist lawyer. This is from the Daily Mail. I don't like the fact that the Daily Mail is the only people reporting a lot of this stuff. I've double checked it. What they're saying is true, but people just default don't believe the Daily Mail in most of Britain.
Mm.
So really, it kind of conspiracy jackets it on its own. But anyway, exclusive,
yes,
lawyers charging £10,000 to make fake asylum claims. Special investigation exposes staff at immigration law firms briefing clients on how to lie to the authorities to win the right way to stay in Britain. And a lot of this is them, a lot of the old defaults used to be, I'm gay.
Hmm.
But that...
Or I'm Christian.
Yeah, yeah. That got shot down within the immigration system after many years of being the default. Partially because of modern slavery become the default, but also because there were so many cases of people who were allowed to stay in Britain under the excuse that they were homosexuals, who then went out and, like, violently murdered women.
Or married and had like a million kids.
Yeah, it became like a real laughing stock. So they had to put a bit of a plug in that. But
well, it's also one of those things as well. Yeah. Once the government opens up that opportunity to let people in under that guise, you can't really turn around and say, no, you're not actually gay.
Yeah.
Because the burden of proof is just so fucking ass backwards.
Yeah, this included claims of sexual torture, slave labour, false imprisonment and death threats that left him suicidal and compelled him to flee to the UK. That really is, that's the crux of it. You basically have to hit them with all this, but the big one is slave labour and false imprisonment.
Yeah, the legal advisor promised he could get a doctor's report to back up the story and produced antidepressants to be given to the Home Office as evidence of psychological trauma.
Why did he do that? He's going way overboard there.
Because then the NHS recognises it, and then the Home Office would have to spaff with the NHS about it, which you can imagine would be its whole own...
I'm making a joke there, but yeah, no, makes it basically watertight. But yeah, this is what's been going on. I don't want to read too much more of this, but the BBC did report it a couple of days later. Solicitors regulator launches investigation of asylum claim. Law firms. Solicitors Watchdogs in England and Wales has confirmed it is investigating law firms accused of helping clients make false asylum claims. But after Daily Mail reports, two companies allegedly agreed to help devise fictional backstories aimed at increasing the success of a claim. This is kind of the private sector version of it. This has been going on within NGOs for decades.
Yeah.
And a lot of this really is people within their own community, if they have community ties, kind of doing it on a professional basis.
Well, yeah,
this is very Cousin Amir.
Well, I would imagine we all remember, like, even the bloody Lawrence Southern stuff from, like, 2016, 2015, yeah, which is going to these migrant detention places in Greece, and they've got these big NGOs, like Medicine Sans Frontier or something like that, and you go, well, yeah, tell them you've got multiple sclerosis, it's not documented, and you're also a Coptic Christian.
Yes. Last November, the regulator carried out a review of the immigration and asylum sector and concluded it was generally satisfied with the quality of service being provided. This is from July this year. It's baffling because nothing's ever come of this. Solicitors Regulatory Authority monitors more than 200,000 solicitors, blah, blah, blah. Very boilerplate. Nothing is really going to happen. Nothing is being done. But Suella Braverman to target crooked immigration lawyers.
Well, this is part of the thing you mentioned.
That yes.
Everyone went, care for Cali.
Yes.
When that's one of an umbrella of organisations that's involved in this.
Yes. Care for Cali isn't mentioned in this article, but it will be, yes. That was the big thing that was focused on in a lot of the press. Mm. That was kind of the one NGO they were able to effectively demonize in all of this. And there's been promises of action, but this has been so transparently going on for so long, really, that it's just, again, empty words.
Yes.
And it's the main component, though, of this story is the fact that there's all these people who are latching on to immigrants because they are a payday, because they have to be provided, once they get a reasonable grounds decision, which they will get,
yes,
to get to stage three, they are provided with legal aid, as we saw there in that, yep, article. So you say that you've been trafficked, you automatically get a reasonable grounds decision unless they can 100% prove otherwise. You have what is referred to as level two evidence, which is supposedly expert evidence that you've been trafficked, and you will be provided with legal aid to hire an activist lawyer who will coach you to say what you need to say to remain in the UK.
I was going to say, I wonder how many law firms just have an X amount of these cases on a constant rotation, just as like a retainer to pay or make up the payroll.
It's probably very likely. Task force to pursue lawyers who coach clients to lie on UK asylum applications. Again, this is the same article from a different source. I just like to double up on my sources because sometimes people object to the source. But anyway, that is the legal aspect. But really, what they've been beating their chest out in all of this is this has become another branch of advertising the Illegal Migration Act of 2000. This was their big immigration bill that was supposed to be the solution. But as we just saw, the very guidance,
yes,
on the Modern Slavery Act, like we said when it was, like we said in the performative failure stream, and like we said in our Infinite Migrant Camp stream, the guidance was overridden because the Modern Slavery Act already overrides the Illegal Immigration Act.
It creates a legal route.
Yes, it does. It's deliberately incompatible with both the European Court of Human Rights and the UK's own Modern Slavery and Equality Act, we'll find as well. Legal Migration Bill, this is once again the Modern Slavery fact sheet. I'm not going to kind of get anything specifically from here. But
I'll just go for that first paragraph there. Where someone has entered the UK illegally and is identified as a potential victim of modern slavery, we will ensure they are returned home or to another safe country away from those who have trafficked them. The UK government is committed to supporting victims of modern slavery and will continue to do so through the national referral mechanism. But there's the problem. If you enter the UK illegally as a victim of modern slavery, your illegal entry is null and void.
Yeah, you are not illegal, yeah.
Because you're a victim of a crime. This is what the Modern Slavery Causes and the Legal Migration Bill are seeking to address. We have designed this to be compliant with our international obligations, Council of Europe Convention on Action Against Trafficking in Human Beings, or what is often referred to as ECAT, recognises the duty of signatory states to provide potential victims with a recovery period, appropriate support, and protection from removal may be withheld on the grounds of public order.
The only one really they can say that on is like if somebody commits a public order or like a violent crime.
Yes.
And even then you still get your weird recovery period, even in detention. This does still apply to, again, here we are though. July, they said this in June, and by July their guidance has been withdrawn.
Yep.
So this is meaningless. The Illegal Migration Bill has completely surrendered itself, as we said it would, before this date, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what we said has happened, and the Illegal Migration Bill has been curb-stomped by the Modern Slavery Bill.
Why would the Conservatives in 2015 set up policy that 8 years later supersedes things they say are important? Why would they do that?
Well, even with good faith implementation of these competing rules, even if the Modern Slavery Act had been superseded by the Illegal Migration Act, this would the push and pull makes immigration cases more and not less complex to handle. Here's one from 24th of August. I struggle not knowing what the future holds. Asylum backlog reaches record high. This is from the end of August.
It does a fantastic side job, though.
Yeah.
It means that every migrant gets two civil servants, not just one.
This is so funny. Here we go. This is the bit I want to read, though. She and her friend Mohammed are both members of the same youth group for asylum seekers at the London-based charity Praxis, which is quite literally a communist organization. They both arrived in the UK on visitor visas before claiming asylum. Mohammed said he came to the UK because he faced discrimination in Ghana as a bisexual man. I chose to come to Britain because Britain is the most protective country, he said.
Going to a different European country, I might face racism. It will be less in this country, he said.
This is what the lawyers tell him to say.
This is what Ruki Beshan told him to say.
This is the immigration system, though. This is it. This is what's happening day to day to day. You have people arriving going, I'm bisexual and Britain is such an anti-racist country, I want
just
to live here.
Just a bunch of fart-huffing negrophile lords and judges. When he says, I would face racism if I went to Germany instead of here. And they go, yes, it's the red.
Well, initial decisions, in quotes, are now routinely taking more than 6 months. This does not include the inevitable appeals process, as we highlighted before. And the unspoken truth to all of this is, if you are in the UK for more than a year before the decision's taken, you can argue that you have put down roots.
Yeah.
The immigration backlog and the complicating of the immigration system means that by default you will be able to remain in the UK, because if they screw up your immigration case to the point that you are waiting years for a decision, one, that is seen as a violation of your right to timely justice, and two, you are able to present evidence that you are now integrated into British society.
Well, you're now homeless as well, which makes you more at risk than you were before.
Stupid Guardian. It doesn't really matter anyway. We spoke in our performative failure stream that only, sorry, in July, in 2021, sorry, only 2,380 people were forcibly returned. Most of them were convicted violent offenders. Here's the story. Deportation from UK at record low as asylum application. Sure. So, again, another Guardian article, another one coming out with extraordinary but true statistics. These are the statistics from the leftist mouth themselves. Well,
yeah. In 2004, the Home Office deported 21,400 people.
Yeah.
So 10 times as much.
So, again, 10 times as much is true, because we go to the next story, we cover this again. 9 in 10 people refused asylum in 2020, free to remain in UK. It's the same number. It seems that really repatriations of any kind have dropped by 90% under the Conservative government. And stuff like the Modern Slavery Act, this is the why of it.
It's their excuse as to why they don't have to do it anymore.
Yes.
Because they're engaged in international causes that are humanitarian, and they're so caring and compassionate. They're not the nasty party, they're good people.
No. Yeah, the Home Office criticises figures show 3,000... Yeah, only 314 were returned. There's the number I was looking for. No, Guardian, I will not pay for it. 90%. Only 314 were returned, but we've kind of done this one a bit to death. If you want to see more of our immigration stuff, do look at our performative failure yes. and our infinite migrant camp stream. Well, it gets worse. Because, well, it always gets worse. This is the big story people were talking about, which effectively slightly conspiracy jackets some of the standing policy. This is a revealed Britain's soft-touch approach to assessing asylum claims, with official told they can't reject the testimony of migrants who are caught lying. That's not the soft-touch approach, and that's not activist civil servants. That is just standing policy, as we've just covered. This is not revelation. If anything, this is normalization.
Well, this is the same stuff we get with the Daily Mail or Telegraph articles about woke that talk about these renegade activists superseding the civil service and intercepting it, as if we didn't watch for the last 5, if not even 6 or 7 years, these people be celebrated when they walked into the civil service and handshaked and told to do as they pleased.
Yes.
There was no subterfuge, there was no invasion or anything like that. They were welcomed in.
This is not revealed, though. We just talked about way back in July, the decision was being celebrated by NGOs.
Yes.
This is now near the end of August in the Daily Mail. They are belatedly reporting this as a Daily Mail story, which, again, people automatically disbelieve. I do like that joke in chat there, CCG. Leave to remain, make up your mind. That's almost like a Seinfeld joke.
Yeah.
What is the deal with airplane food? But there's officials have been told they cannot reject the testimony of migrants who are caught lying. That's slightly different, and that is the only aspect of this that is slightly different. But even when an immigrant is caught lying, a migrant is caught lying, you are not allowed to use that against them. They were basically told the only tool they could use to disprove a modern slavery claim was not open to them, which is confronting people with their own lies.
They are ordered not to be sceptical when quizzing asylum seekers, including those who have come from safe countries.
It's just the standing guidance. Yeah. They lost a court case.
Asylum seekers must be reassured that they need not answer upsetting questions. That's the same therapeutic fucking state that... What?
This is just the same announcement from the other side a month later.
Yes.
The left, in quotes, were already celebrating this a month before this story. This is all out there in the open and has been for years. And yet all we get is the playing catch-up of the fake outrage of the tabloids, which usually just goes ignored.
Which
by
happens
people.
Too late and too little,
yes.
as always.
Where migrants do not secure a lawyer fast enough to lie for them, they can simply change their story in the Home Office as the standing instructions to believe them, but they always have. There's also something here, talk about departments competing with each other, from the...
Women and Equalities Commission.
Yeah, this is from the Women and Equalities Commission. And I will quickly make sure that I have a big enough snippet of this to actually find it in the text. But yes, this is quite a funny one, just in my opinion, because it's basically them doing the same thing and saying, nope, all of this is also incompatible with the Equality Act, too.
Yes, the asylum system is undergoing substantial reform, in due part to the Home Office's inability to process the volume of asylum claims it receives effectively and expeditiously. The government is now seeking to reduce the ability of people to claim asylum in the UK, despite recent figures showing the majority of those seeking to do so will have a genuine claim and would, in all likelihood, meet the criteria to be accepted.
Because you can't question them on the modern slavery.
As this report will set out, people with vulnerabilities arising from the Equality Act protected characteristics are particularly affected. This cohort experiencing unnecessary risks under the Home Office's current management of the asylum process, recent and proposed changes to the system may lead to those risks increasing. Studies have shown that inequalities exist in asylum decisions. For example, a 2009-10 analysis of asylum claims from lesbians and gay men found a refusal rate of around 98% compared to 75% for other claims. Analysis of 2019 data found that the Home Office had refused 3,100 claims from LGBT people from countries in which same-sex acts are criminalised. More broadly, witnesses expressed concerns about the paucity of data disaggregated by protected characteristics refugee convention grounds. The Home Office's published statistics on asylum applications include claimants' nationality, age, sex, and whether the applicant was an unaccompanied adult seeking child. Oh, sorry, asylum seeking child.
Another thing as well is that if you claim to be a child, you cannot be deported. And they are basically saying you can't disprove someone's a child either, which is funny. It's like this. Imagine this, but it's just proving you're not a child.
Well, it's just them as well demanding that we have more bean counting.
Yeah.
That we aggregate the statistics in ways that are useful to people who complain and have now probably put a 2 decades life political work
the
into
Tories
championing
own,
equality.
The Tories own Women and Equalities Commission, which has been staffed by them for 13 years at this point. Is coming out and saying, oh no, we have to slow everything down, we have to monitor all the equality outcomes. And this is, I went to include this because it's another spoke in the wheel of the system turning. And as we've mentioned previously, a failure, in quotes, of the asylum system in Britain grinding to a halt basically means everyone by default gets asylum and stays here. The longer you stay in limbo, the more like you are to stay in Britain. And this is how they've got round it. They have deliberately broken the system with the Modern Slavery Act, and they are pretending to fight themselves on it, as we'll get to. I wanted to get into the NGO side of it, because I just found this funny. Once again, the organizations that are opposing the Illegal Migration Bill and talking about the Modern Slavery Act and saying that, no, you can't strip it out. These are also organizations that were involved in the legal action that we just talked about that was taken against the government. And the UK government, the Home Office itself, actually lists all of these organizations, like Settled, Central England Law Centre, East European Resource Centre, Europea, Gladstone District Community Association, Gyros, all of this. Oh, and the International Organization for Migration, which is a UN-associated charity, which, again, here we have them, one, campaigning against the government's own migration bill, and two, also being involved in trying to bolster the modern slavery.
Sustainable Development Goals little colour thing in the data research bit of the top blue bar there.
Yes, it is. So this is the UN, backed, funded and linked by the UK government, fighting their own limited reform of the immigration system on the exact grounds we said it would lose on.
I don't have enough thinking apoos for that one.
Well, there was a whole dust-up late in August again saying some charities are just politically motivated activists, so we'll upbraid them. Claims. Outburst comes as Care for Calais criticised by Charity Commission after Foundee received £340,000 into personal account, which is like, that's just fraud.
Yeah.
It's amazing that nobody's gone to prison over this. They pretended in the NGO bits of this to be trying to rein these people in, but really, the UK government is funding the rod for their own back. Once again.
However, if that woman got locked up, Big Willie Shawcross would have to get locked up too for what he's done with the stuff we'll prevent.
So basically, if you are a charity in Britain and you are not like actually right wing you cannot have charitable status removed from you.
Yes.
It's borderline impossible because of the stuff that like the Henry Jackson Society did. If you want to see that, go to a Henry Jackson Society stream. We have a bit more to cover. We're trying to get through this. There's going to be, I'd like to have a bit of a discussion at the end, as we always do, and there'll be a few spoilers as well. Mm. Not spoilers, there'll be a few treats near the end, so do stay. But really what you get to this limited reform that, by the way, didn't work. It completely failed as we went through. They lost in court, their guidance had been withdrawn, the Modern Slavery Act is now exactly how it was, which makes the entire illegal migration bill useless.
It's a farce.
It's a farce.
That's the only
part. But it is also a farce which makes them look mean. Theresa May slams a legal migration bill for allowing more slave drivers to make money out of human misery. After almost 4 hours of voting on amendments from the laws, the government escaped with the bill intact, but not without some stern words from the former Prime Minister and some high-profile Tory rebellions. This is what it does. It sucks people back into the narrative of Cameronite compassionate conservatism. And it makes the Conservative Party be on the back foot for all the issues it's supposed to be strong on. It makes it basically have to be at war with itself. Because this, again, as we'll keep hammering into people, this is not a Labour policy. This is one of the flagship policies of Theresa May herself, which has made deportations possible. I don't want to read too much. There's a few more of these. Again, here's Open Democracy, basically asking the same question we are, which is, why have the Tories abandoned migrant victims of modern slavery? The illegal migration bill removes protections from migrants that the Tories themselves put in place.
I've got to see what they conclude for this one.
I'd read the first couple of paragraphs first if you want.
Cool. Protections for people arriving irregularly to the UK are being deliberately dismantled.
Yeah.
2022 Nationality and Borders Act raised evidence thresholds to make harder for foreign victims of exploitation to access support, as
not
we
true.
Previously covered. The government is appealing to the Supreme Court for permission to send asylum seekers to Rwanda. Remember that?
Performative failure.
Remember that? Does anyone talk about that anymore? Yeah. And the illegal migration bill, which just passed the Lords, will soon put in place some of the most draconian anti-migrant provisions the UK has ever seen.
314 people deported. That's it.
Some of the most draconian anti-migrant provisions, like the Modern Slavery Act provisions and clauses in the very bill, so it makes it easier for them. Part of this effort has been a sustained campaign to undermine the 2015 Modern Slavery Act. Since Theresa May was voted out as a Prime Minister in 2019, the government has increasingly described the MSA as a loophole and the people it tries to support as criminals. Its proposed solution is the Illegal Migration Bill. Once it becomes law, this legislation will prevent anybody arriving irregularly to the UK from receiving support, including victims of torture and modern slavery. Not true.
Again, though, this is how they're able to lose the nice party war. This is how they're able to become the nasty party again. But let's go to the last couple paragraphs here.
It's a nonsensical situation and it's heartbreaking but predictable that the government's solution is to wreck the Modern Slavery Act rather than the hostile environment, Kenway said. When approached for comment, a spokesperson for the Home Office said that modern slavery is a complex and multifaceted crime and that the UK has led the world in protecting victims of modern slavery. The MSA will remain law unless a government passes legislation to repeal it. But the Illegal Migration Bill will see to it that the only British citizens and foreign nationals with a regular legal status will be allowed into the national referral mechanism. Not true. The MSA's protections will no longer be available to migrants arriving irregularly in the UK, regardless of what they might have experienced along the way. All they will be met with is hostility.
Thank you for the £6, Josie. She says, keep going, loving what you do. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks again. We have pinned the donation link up there, just to quick the shill again. But it is good. There's been a few this week and a few during the premiere of the previous show last week. So I will thank you guys again, but we'll keep on keeping on. Again, this is the conversation. They have just been battered in the press. This is what Middle England sees. Mm. This is the informational environment, in quotes. This is the fire hose. And as we always say, you are not immune to propaganda. Modern slavery, UK's focus on genuine victims. And I love that. Ooh, genuine in scarecrow. There's failed survivors since the 1800s.
Look at the second paragraph there. In recent remarks, Home Secretary Suella Braverman said the government's priority is helping genuine victims over those who supposedly lie about being modern slavery victims to gain entry to the UK. This is not new. A focus on finding genuine victims has been a central message in anti-trafficking policy for well over 150 years and has serious implications.
Yeah, because
why is a leftist site that is trying to debunk what the Tories are doing here putting forward the narrative that what they are doing is in continuation with the legacy of anti-slavery that's existed in Britain when it has fucking nothing to do with it?
Well, that's the way they paint it. They paint it as, oh, Britain is the best thing Britain did was ending slavery.
I mean,
yeah, thanks, Carl, you big fucking retard.
I mean, look at the author's name. She's literally called Anna Foreigner Beale.
That's kind of
PhD
funny.
Candidate Centre for Multidisciplinary Gender Studies at Cambridge.
Oh dear. Is this a real person? Ah, look at the forehead on that one. AIs don't make foreheads that big. here we go. Her work has been graciously supported by the Bill and Melinda Gates Cambridge Scholarship. We didn't see that. I promise, guys, we don't set these ones up for ourselves. It's so pious.
And this is the only article she's ever written for this conversation site either, by the looks of it.
thank you, Anna Foreigner, mouthpiece of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We appreciate your narrative. We are undefeated at this. Oh, that's a bit of a spoiler there. We are undefeated at this point. But let's quickly get to some conclusions here, really, before we have a bit of fun. As I said earlier, Britain was not a slave state prior to 2015, and anyone suggesting it was would be laughed out of the building. But the Modern Slavery Act is part of a web of legislation and rules that make denial of asylum almost impossible, and removal once asylum is denied equally as unlikely. Again, 90% basically drop in both cases, in both deportations and deportations when it comes to denied applications. It's almost universal across the board in all different instances. It's like a big slice. 9 out of 10 cases that would have been deported in 2004 are no longer forcibly repatriated. But anyway, the Modern Slavery Act is meant to create a deportation process that is endless, with dozens of officials and lawyers needed for each case and hundreds of individual hurdles and steps to take. Think about the brief slice we gave you of the evidence levels, the legal aid having to be provided, all of that stuff. That is only for specifically a modern slavery concern. That doesn't take into account the rest of the immigration system.
Or the other ways you can claim asylum.
There are hundreds of thousands of people now needing processes which for each of them requires dozens of officials
that do not exist.
Well,
we've only read the bit on adults.
Yes.
But as you say, most of them that are basically below the age of 40 will pretend they're 16 anyway.
Yes. There was a whole thing about bone scans that was shot down. You can't give people bone scans to prove they're not children. You're the nasty party.
Yeah, you can't go and look at their teeth to see which ones have grown in or not.
You're the nasty. That's like eugenics. The Nazis did that.
That's phrenology.
That's basically that has been the argument. We'll probably cover that at some point. But yeah, basically, if you say that you're a child, basically the whole system falls apart. Even if you have like a massive beard, this is also why you sometimes end up. And I know people who encounter it who work in schools with like 20-year-old like Pakistani men in like primary school. There's been instances in which you have like men with full beards and like BO in like secondary school classes, and that is a massive safety concern, and two, just a mockery outgrowth of the clown show that is the British immigration system.
Not enough rope.
No. The Modern Slavery Act is wholly a project of the Tory government in enthusiastic compliance with directives. It is once again fighting itself to partly solve a problem it caused. That is it. This once again is another Who's behind all this? Oh, look, it's just the Tory party. And this is why, and we'll get into it in a sec, we will stress that anyone with financial and organizational links to the Conservative Party should be cut out. They are a tendril. We've been through this so much. They are a tendril of the central organization. Which brings us on to some funnier news this week. Mr. Robinson, he got sacked from GB News, and he's such a poor preacher, because apparently his diocese doesn't pay him, that he's had to raise nearly £30,000. In fact, he says it here, GB News was Deacon Calvin's primary source of income, not his diocese. We are raising funds to keep a roof over his head so that he can maintain his self-supporting ministry in London.
Where is he this week?
Where in the world is Deacon Calvin Robinson? He's in Orlando, Florida, folks. Ooh. He got that £28,000 that he's gone to Disneyland. Look at him.
Look at me. I went through years of policy exchange training and basically betrayed the race of my own people and made native Brits hate me. But I'm in the Millennium Falcon. Blairds unite. Blaired lives matter.
What was even funnier was his defense of this. His defense of this was amazing. I'm in Florida speaking on a speaking engagement which was arranged months ago. I am with a group of godly Anglicans and I'm thankful for their fellowship after a grueling week. My flight accommodation was covered by the organizers and I did not charge a fee. The support I have received, blah, 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 GB News. Those funds will go to pay my rent and bills and will not be touched for this trip, which was pre-arranged and pre-funded. It just goes to show there are some bad faith critics just looking for a reason to express their hatred towards anyone with politics they disagree with. The cry of grifter is almost often the cry of the politics of envy. It's a jealous projection made in bad faith. Those people are best ignored. And the bit that I love here is just the fact that he talks about... it's like many people in this country... I live hand to mouth, like a lot of people in this country. Sorry, it's right at the end of that second paragraph.
Just put that image back up for a second.
Yeah, look at him there. Look at him next to the Millennium Falcon on his all-expenses-paid trip to, by the way, Disneyland. I mean, okay, let me give you a piece of advice, Calvin Robinson, if you come across this. If you're going to accept an all-expenses-paid trip to anywhere, whilst raising £30,000 for your poverty, don't do it to Disneyland, which is, you know, the media arm of the great Satan, and which all of your conservative grifter friends have been attempting to boycott for the last year. It's just so amazing.
You think as well he'd wear his deacon gear and spread the good news of the Bible to the great Satan as Disneyland. But yes. No.
I can't. There's some people been trying to defend this. I'm like, what? One... It's fucking Disney. He's raised money to keep a roof over his head in Disneyland. You know, that place that's famous for trying to, propagandize children with sexualized images. The place that the governor of Florida has declared basically a hotbed of like pedophile lizard men. Why? You couldn't put me on an all-expenses-paid trip to Disney World. Do you know how bad that would make us look? Like, it's not even it's just an optics thing, but still, you couldn't pay me enough to go to Disney World with other fucking bug men. I don't want to stand in the line. Like, 20 feet from here, there's probably a Disney mascot congratulating on a child on their new gender identity. And he stood there.
Why do you think he's smiling?
Stood there, living hands-to-mouth next to a gay child in the Millennium Falcon. Thank you, Calvin Robinson, for proving us right.
Star Wars!
We have never been more right in the history of this channel, and I'm just glad to be vindicated by all of this. Yes. You see, when you go on holiday, you stop being religious. I don't know. I'm slightly tempted to play the message from Nigel before we finish. Let's tell you what. Let's all take a minute to reabsorb this wonderful
solidarity.
Message, this solidarity, of course, because we are great fans of the Nation of Israel.
You may think it's complicated, but be clear: a sovereign state of Israel has been attacked. War has broken out. For decency, we must stand 100% with Israel.
It's not complicated, guys.
It's not complicated, guys. Just go to Disneyland. Yeah,
get the pawns and do the pots and the pans out.
Yeah, get your pots and pans out, applaud the NHS, stand with Israel, and have all expenses paid trips to Disneyland. Being right wing is about all expenses paid trips to Disneyland. Well, the more expenses paid trips to Disneyland you have, the more right wing you are.
See, someone in the chat saying, Calvin will never see this. The problem is, he obviously has, because he has me blocked on Twitter. So obviously word gets up the tree.
He's going to bang the pan for Israel.
Look, I love Calvin Robinson just as much as I love Israel. It's not complicated.
I also wanted to briefly bring up the fact that the ridiculousness of this has ramped up to such a degree that we've now had the cancellation. We've had the, as someone says down here, the Freedom Fries moment for the pornography industry, which is Mia Khalifa describing Palestinians as freedom fighters, as Jeremy Corbyn did for many, many years. But anyway, thinking about a Hindu nationalist pro-Islam guy angrily vowing to never masturbate penis to Mia Khalifa again.
Oh, God.
This is the news trough. This is the news environment you exist in. We news thought about, feed. For about a nanosecond, I thought about putting Israel in the news slot bucket, and then I realized that having like images of pigs eating Israeli flags would not go down very well with like, you know, counterterrorism police. So we'll save refilling the trough, because really the trough has been nuked from orbit.
Yes, press S to stand.
Yes, press S to stand with Israel. Oh dear. Anyway, I think we're just filling time here anyway. Thank you to everybody who has tuned in.
Yes.
Once again, we will do a little bit more shilling here. If you guys, there will be some more written content. There's been a big essay, like you said, this week on the Substack.
I do believe as well some of our previous Nomos stuff will be coming out soon as well.
Yes, I was about to say, do join us for Nomos Scotland on the
27th and 28th of October.
Yes, in Stirling City Centre in Scotland. That some of our speeches from previous events will be going up in anticipation of that. One has already gone up. It's called Welcome to the Real World. It's in our videos. Once again, do keep an eye on the Substack, because there will be some longer form pieces, and once a month there, I can probably guarantee there will be some kind of radio show. We have too many ideas for that. In fact, we've struggled really hard not to turn ourselves into just some sort of radio show channel. But that's kind of by the by. Anyway, what I will do is I will quickly, I forgot to get the outro music on, but I think you guys can probably predict what that is. What I will do now is I will say thank you to everyone who donated. Do support this channel if you want to see more of these. Do interact with the videos.
Yes.
Give us a like, give us a comment. Share this around to the people you think will like it. Apart from that, though, the weather has been a bit weird.
Yes.
Don't worry, we've not forgotten the weather report. In fact, it's so important, we put it at the end this week.
Yes.
Too many toes.
It's been a little bit close. It's
been muggy as hell.
It's been muggy. Not quite as cold as it has been, so the dampening down in the wind has been a nice change. But otherwise, not too much going on. Have a good evening, and never relax.
Never relax and never forget.